Are Christian fathers today really the king of their castle? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe's Society Podcast. St. Joe's Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they become strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is episode 18 of the St. Joseph Bootcamp. And the question before us today is, are Christian fathers today really the king of their castles? Now, I entitled this episode, The Scepter of Fatherhood. Now, what is a scepter? A scepter is a staff or a baton that's carried by some king or some sovereign, and it's an emblem of their authority. What we're going to discuss in the podcast today is that Christian men, heads of their family, have the scepter of fatherhood. They have real authority within their family. And what we're going to look at is that this authority is based in Christ's authority as king. Okay, he has the scepter of authority. And that through the sacraments, particularly the sacrament of matrimony, we gain an authority to lead our families spiritually. So that's what we're going to unpack today. All right, so let's start with, what does it mean for Christ to be king, and how do we participate in that kingship? Okay, the fact that Christ is the king, okay, in Lou Godot's book, it says this, Christ is the lawgiver and the judge of mankind. Okay. Now we know from scripture in John 14:6 that Christ is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus says he is the way, he's referring to the fact that he's a king. Okay. He leads the way with his authority. In the Apostles' Creed, it says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. That right-handed seated shows that Christ is king and that he has the scepter of authority. Now, how does his authority get passed down to us? There's a Latin phrase called in persona Christi, which you guys may have heard before. The Latin phrase means in the person of Christ. Now, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it teaches that those men who have already been consecrated to Christ through baptism and confirmation, okay, through baptism and confirmation, you're given what's called a common priesthood. Okay, through those two, you participate in Christ as king, priest, prophet, and king. Through the baptism and confirmation, there's also two other ways in which a man can take rightful authority to participate in this common priesthood. It's called holy orders and matrimony. Now, through holy orders, priests and bishops act in persona Christi in a way that's wholly unique to them, okay? And when we explore more about holy orders in the future, we'll unpack that. But they act in persona Christi in a way that's totally unique. However, Christian laymen, especially fathers, also act in the person of Christ as well. Not in the way that priests do, but we do stand in the person of Christ within our families and within our communities. Okay, the sacraments give us this. Okay, through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, those two alone give us a common priesthood, but especially through matrimony, a Catholic father has been equipped to lead his family spiritually, to participate in Christ's rule. St. Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Okay, so the husband takes a role of as Christ within his family. Now, what should a husband be doing in his family? Well, first, he has to provide for the material necessities. Okay, so the Catechism of the Council of Trent talks about the fact that we need to be engaged and make a living in order to provide for our families. But it also says, quote, he is also to keep all his family in order, to correct their morals, and to see that they faithfully discharge their duties. This is the spiritual headship that I'm referring to. A man's job as head of the family is to create order within the family, to correct morals and give guidance, and make sure everyone in the family is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, to exercise this authority, we're going to break this down into two parts. And I get this from G.C. Dilsaver's book I talked about last week, The Three Marks of Manhood. We're going to look at the scepter of self-discipline first. If you can't rule yourself, you can't rule anybody else outside of you. And then second, we're going to look at what authority you have within the family, okay? So let's start with the scepter of self-discipline, because if you don't have this, you don't have anything. Let's be very clear. Holiness equals manhood, okay? A man who is not holy is no man. In our culture, we have a lot of false views on what a man is. And a lot of these false viewers, men are people that, you know, lift lots of weights and chase women and indulge their appetites and buy fast cars and live lives of pleasure. That is not true masculinity. The only true man is the man that is committed full-heartedly to becoming holy. Okay. Listen to Dil Savers' quote here. The scepter of self-discipline is the prerequisite of Christian patriarchy. Okay, self-discipline develops a will that is both master over the mental, emotional, physical faculties and a servant unto one's duty, ideals, and faith. Guys, we must become self-disciplined men who are chasing holiness as our number one priority in life. If we don't start mastering ourselves, gaining authority over ourselves, there's no reason why we should have authority over everyone else. Guys, we have to declare war on sin and temptation. Too many people have a lax understanding of what the spiritual life's about. Spiritual life's a battle, okay? The scriptures say this and the Christian tradition said this. You have to go to war on this, okay? If you don't fight, you die. Listen to this quote in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and men of violence take it by force. He is not talking about buying an AR-15, okay? I have no problem with AR-15s. He's not talking about that. The violence he's talking about is a spiritual violence. It's that we contend for the kingdom of God with all of our strength and with all of our might, and we give ourselves wholeheartedly to the task of growing in virtue and Christlikeness. Now, of course, we can't do this alone. We have to open ourselves up to God's grace, but we must put effort into this fight. We either fight or we die. Guys, we have to be challenged to become men of self-discipline who pursue holiness at all things, over all things. If we do this, we are going to be able to exercise our authority within the community, the family, and the parish. Okay. Here's Dil Savers again. Once a man has done violence unto himself by wielding the scepter of self-discipline over his price, passions, and flesh, and stands firmly in the presence of God, he is ready to wield the scepter of authority and stand humbly in his stead and to govern others. Okay. Now, the way we exercise authority within our families is the way we love our wives and the way we love our children. So let's look at these two. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, 25, and 28. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. How did Christ love the church? He died for her. We are to love our lives, our wives like that. We die to our selfish ambitions. We die to our comfort. We die to our sin and our temptation. We become men who will follow Christ in all things to love our wives well. Now, guys, what we're going to be talking about this month is very controversial in modern society and has been rejected by many people, even Catholic people. So I'm going to be very blunt with you what the church teaches about this. In the Catechism of the Council of Trent, here's what it says about the man's role in the family. It is the duty of the husband to treat his wife generously and honorably. Let wives never forget that next to God, they are to love their husbands, to esteem them above all others, yielding to them in all things, not inconsistent with Christian piety, and willing and ready obedience. Guys, a wife is called to humbly follow our lead in all things. We are called to love her as Christ loves the church and to treat her generously and honorably as we lead her to the best of our ability. Guys, a husband who's fully devoted to our faith first and to his wife second, and wife comes before children. When you're devoted to her, you'll never belittle her. You'll never put her in a position that would be intentionally put her in a position that would be the wrong move. Okay. By word and deed, you would build her up. Why? Because building her up is one of your number one priorities. Working on that marriage, being the husband that she needs, is God's call to you. And men, we must commit ourselves to being Christ-like leaders of our families by starting by being the husbands that our wives deserve. Now, what's the second part of exercising our authority? This is the love we have for our children. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, this is what St. Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice here, children are commanded to honor their father and mother. That's a duty that children have, and they need to be taught to do this duty. Okay, all of us, I'm sure, had some reckless streaks in us or maybe push back against our parents. Children need to learn to honor their parents. Okay, it's an important thing, because if they can't honor the father standing right in front of them, how are they ever going to honor God? So they have to be taught this. However, men, when we're leading our children, we don't need to provoke them. We need to use wisdom in the way we lead our wives and children, okay, so that we can lead them in discipline and instruction. That's true. But also do it in such a way that our wives and children can be receptive to our leadership. The kind of patriarchal leadership I'm calling for here is not a I'm the boss, you do whatever I say leadership. It's a true leadership. It's a Christ-like leadership. When God leads you in his spiritual life, does he bombard you with a bunch of requirements that you can't do? No, he chips away little bits at a time. He puts things before us in instruction, helps us along. When we fall short, how does our Father treat us? He forgives us, picks us up, dusts us off, and encourages us to keep going. God has very high standards for us, no doubt. But he does work with us where we are and helps us come along. He doesn't move the standards, but he does treat us gently. That's the kind of way we lead our wives and children. Okay, keep the standards high because they are high. But we need to, with wisdom, help our wives and children become who God wants them to be. Will we mess up? Of course we will. But we need to remember that God asks us to be faithful to this mission, and that if we give ourselves to it wholeheartedly, he will instruct us how to do this. And we'll also talk about some other strategies to help you guys do this well in the coming weeks. But the one application I want to give you guys before we call it quits for the week, there is one sin that we must master to become the men that our wives and children deserve, and that is the sin of impurity. Okay. The sin of impurity is the anti-type to manliness and fatherhood. In our culture, that's pure smut with pornography and masturbation, men are encouraged to be impure. Being the most unmanly thing a man can do is be impure. We have to master the sixth and ninth commandment. Have to. This is what Adolf Tankery says in The Spiritual Life. From the point of view of perfection, there is, next to pride, no greater obstacle to spiritual growth than the vice of impurity. To withstand so dangerous a passion, we need deep convictions, protection against dangerous occasions, mortification, and prayer. Men, if you want to know what it means to love your wife and children as Christ loved them, we must put to death sexual immorality in our lives and in our friends' lives and our children's lives. We need to have a take no prisoners mindset to destroying sexual impurity. It will ruin you as a man. Through you will ruin your marriage, and through you will ruin your children. Now, we can't address every issue at this point, but if you're a man who struggles with this sin, you need to get yourself in the box and start confessing it. You need to partner with other trusted men or with your priest to master this sin now. And you must take on the mindset that you will not quit fighting until you completely defeat it. Because, guys, God would not put the sixth and ninth commandment there if we couldn't achieve it. Okay, He's not gonna ask us to do the impossible. And some of you, maybe if you struggle in this area, might say, I can't achieve this on my own. Good. Of course you can't. But with God's help, all things are possible. And so, men, this month, as we look at what it means to be the Catholic Christian leaders of our families, let's start to master ourselves so that we can become the leaders that our community, our families, and our parish deserves. God bless. Look forward to seeing you guys next week.